Hello and welcome to another episode of Sounds Like Comics, the podcast devoted to all things comic books in movies and TV. I'm Luke.
And I'm Jay. Welcome to the podcast.
Today's topic, Speed Racer, the live-action adaptation of the Japanese anime series. This is your warning, we will be talking spoilers.
The follow-up to the Matrix films done by the Wachowskis.
Lana, do you know what? That is why I went to the movies to watch this film, having never ever seen Speed Racer before. I knew what it was. I'd never seen it, but I went to see it because of the Wachowskis.
I went to see it because of the Wachowskis. That being said, I had watched the cartoon on Cartoon Network on many occasions. I liked it. I like cars. I watched Formula One. I appreciated the art style of the cartoon, which I appreciate the replication in the film. And I always loved the car. Speed Racer's car, the Mark V, has always looked cool to me, and the actual physical representation in this movie is like spot on to what it always looked like in the cartoon.
They do which a great
of
job
course was a manga.
Yeah, they do a great job of adapting. I mean, it looks like a cartoon in a good way. It's supposed to, like, it's very wacky races, isn't it? Again, I didn't watch all the Speed Racer. Yeah. Well, I've not seen
and
any outside of this movie.
It's,
to
it's
my
like,
mind,
it's like serious wacky races.
Yes.
And very strongly influenced, which you can tell from the costume department of the late 60s, early 70s. More late 60s than it is early 70s, which again was influenced by Formula One at the time, and World Rally, which is the influences that the original manga came from. But
in the original cartoon was 1967.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had been trying to make a live-action Speed Racer film for the longest time. It had been in development hell since 1992, having changed actors and filmmakers until in 2006, when producer Joel Silver and the Wachowskis collaborated to begin production on the film. It was released in the United States on May 9th, 2008 by Warner Brothers. Upon initial release, the film received mixed reviews from critics, who praised the action sequences, musical score, cinematography, and performances, but were divided on its overuse of CGI and criticized its screenplay and runtime. The film grossed $93.9 million worldwide against a $120 million budget, and it was subsequently nominated in multiple categories at the Teen Choice Awards, as well as the Golden Raspberry Awards. In subsequent years, it has garnered a strong cult following on social media. But, you know, it being criticized for its runtime, 135 minutes, that is pretty long. It feels
that
like
is, yeah.
It gets
doesn't
to a
feel
point,
that long.
I think it does. And I've seen it a couple of times now, most recently for this review. It kind of feels like it's winding down and then it revs back up again. And there's like so much more movie to go.
What I think the problem is, as someone who's watched the cartoon, is the cartoon was like a very anime style. Not a lot of anime, but enough to recognize kind of the style and things, because they're taken from the manga and they're adapted, is you have a story arc end, and then before the next one begins, you've got to do the what they don't often do in like Western comics, is you downtime, and then the slow pivot and build up towards the next storyline. You know, they actually have, it's not just a resolution at the end of like the final issue of like, wow, that thing happened and we got them done, and then like a few character beats, and then the next issue is like you're already in the start of whatever. They actually write out that natural, they get home, they're like, oh my god, what have we just dealt with, and they deal with the dealing, and they might have to like have some downtime, and then it starts to naturally build. And being the fact that it's a racing family, that means between races that race didn't go well. We got to do this, 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 and roll on. So when it came to the cartoon, you would have like the story of like someone's trying to steal their plans for the new engine of the Mark V, because and while they're doing that, like they got a race, and it's this race, and that race would go for like five or six episodes, and then you'd have like two episodes before the next, and before the they start talking about whatever the next race is. It seems like they did that style in this of like you jump first into the first race where he kind of makes his name. Second race happens, doesn't go right. Downtime, third race, win, which allows him to go to the fourth and final race, which it all fits to like the way of the cartoon, but the cartoon's 4 or 5 or 6 20-minute episodes.
So that's the difference.
And there's a lot of fat in those because they're covering a lot of stuff, including a lot of like in the previous episode, they do all that kind of stuff, and you got to re-get your context of what happened. So there's a lot of time eaten with the what happened and then what's going to happen in the next one. So you lose a bunch of time. Doing that in a movie, though, like, you need to slim it down. Like, you are perfectly representing, or as perfectly as possible, a realistic interpretation of what the cartoon does and probably what the manga does as well. They should know better. Like, you don't do that for a movie. You got to make it slicker, like, easier to follow, a more natural progression and trajectory for a film, because that is a long runtime.
It is.
Yeah.
And they'd been trying to get a sequel going for like a number of years. I mean, I think like 10 years after this film came out, Emil Hirsch again, I think even like Christina Ricci doing press for other things would get asked, or they'd bring up, I'm sure they were asked actually, about Speed Racer and it getting a sequel, and they'd say there's ideas. And apparently the Wachowskis were even working on the sequel, like writing down ideas, what's making this first one. Never eventuated into anything beyond this movie. Apparently JJ Abrams is looking at producing a live action series for Apple, so they're still trying to make more Speed Racer, but no connection to this. But what was connected to this, when this film came out, I had a Nintendo Wii, and I had this game, the movie tie-in, has a lot of fun, and I had the steering wheel. which was great.
It really does feel kind of Mario Kart-esque.
Absolutely. Like, so I had a
car combat. You get your gadgets. You have your jump button,
and you could flip. It was all there. So when this film came out again, I'm like, the Wachowskis, the Matrix. Watch this on the big screen. Got the video game for the Wii, and I came back to it again years later, and then of course again for this. But when watching it, I'm like, what happened to Emil Hirsch? Like, at one point, he was the guy, wasn't he?
Yeah. It was like him and Zac Efron. And then Zac continues to move. I won't quite say from quite strength to strength, although I did very recently watch Iron Claw, which is brilliant.
Oh, I've heard great things. But then he's good. Just be aware. Yeah.
It is not. Yeah. That is a serious drama. People go, oh, wrestling. Oh, it's a lot of fun. If you know the backstory of wrestling, especially wrestling from the 70s and 80s, they actually, minor spoiler, although it's not in the movie, there was actually another brother from that family that also had tragedy before them. And they thought it was so much, they had to cut that brother's existence out of the film, because like people won't believe it actually happened, but it did. This was a family who had tragedy just followed around. So like, so that's Zac Efron. But yeah,
Zac Efron, he's still getting movies on the big screen. Emil Hirsch, he seems to do a handful of movies a year, but they direct to rentals, like they don't go to the big. I can't remember the last time, or maybe Force of Nature, a Mel Gibson movie, he was in that with Kate Bosworth. I think that had a limited big screen release, but again, like, this was huge when this movie came out. Like, yeah, I guess anticipation and the scope of it, again, critically it wasn't, but he was like the main guy. He was the title character. And yeah, he'd had a number of hits, but yeah, he kind of, I don't know what happened.
And it's not his fault. Like, he did a great job.
He is a good actor.
And being a, as most people would associate, a live-action cartoon character, not easy. Thankfully, the cartoon is more serious. You know, like, back then, you're getting stuff like Scooby-Doo and, like, the Flintstones. But if you look at Speed Racer, it's a drama. It's more of a drama as a cartoon.
And it's got a big...
Despite the bright fan base. Colors.
Yes, yeah, yes. But it's got, you know, big fan base. And, you know, when preparing for the role, he paid a visit to Lowe's Motor Speedway, where he met and got advice from race car driver Jimmy Johnson. So, like, you know, he wasn't phoning it in. Like, he was putting the effort in. But, yeah, like, again, like, I don't know what happened, but he's not getting big roles anymore for whatever reason.
Yeah. And the cast around him.
This has got a great cast.
Who?
And this is Jack from Lost.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. I'm like, this is still Lost era. Like, Lost was still on at the time, and he got in some serious shape for this role because he knew he had some action sequences, and the Wachowskis, you know, having recently finished off The Matrix, he's like, oh, I really have to make sure that I'm in supreme shape for those fight choreography. Brilliant. Really well done. Really strong performance. I always liked the Racer X character and the idea behind it anyway, which, again, for those who watched the cartoon, it was always like, unbeknownst to Speed, Racer X is seriously his brother, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. died, who faked his death in the race 2 years ago. It was like, every single episode.
Yeah, this came up. Yeah. And, you know, it's revealed in the movie as well. Like, well, Speed.
That is what happens.
Yeah, Speed doesn't find out. He still keeps it a secret. But in this, Racer X, he wears a black suit with a black mask, whereas he wore white. In the cartoon
with a black mask
would have watched. What I thought was interesting for this, like, Matt Fox or Matthew Fox, he was the it guy at the moment. He had Lost. Yeah. He was popping up in various other things. As always, whenever you hear or you see who was cast in a role, you hear other people that were also up for it. But again, this is a movie that had been in development for the longest time. Keanu Reeves turned down the role of Racer X. At one point during the film's early development in the 1990s, Nicolas Cage was offered the role. In October 1994, 4 years later, Henry Rollins was offered the role.
Wow, that's a very different casting choice.
Like, they went through a few people.
But we've got
Matthew Fox, who he's got that superhero jaw. He looks great, he, you know, under the mask. That works really well. Christina Ricci as Trixie, Speed's girlfriend. It's fun seeing her in this because it's not the kind of role you typically see her in. It's, you think things like Casper, Adam's Family. I know she was a lot younger when she did those films, but this is like a live action cartoon then. And all the primary colors. But what I thought was interesting.
Cool beans.
Cool beans. Ariel Winter played a young Trixie. And straight away, I'm like, it's Alex Dunphy from Modern Family. But here's a little bit of fun Adam's Family trivia that connects Christina Ricci and Ariel Winter. Winter, who plays young Trixie to Christina Ricci's Trixie, is the real life younger sister of actor Jimmy Workman. Workman played Pugsley Adams in the 90s Adams Family films, where Ricci has famously portrayed his movie sibling Wednesday Adams.
Wow, that is strange. That is like very coincidental.
It's pretty fun, isn't it? John Goodman as Pops Racer, Speed's father.
Couldn't be better part casting.
Oh, mate, I think he is fantastic in this. It was reminding me of when he played Fred Flintstone in the Flintstones movie.
And you never get bad John Goodman either. Like, never. He's always like top tier.
When that attacker...
As a father, Like,
yeah,
you're always like, yeah, that's a dad. That's a dad.
Absolutely. But I was going to say, when the attacker goes to grab him and sees his wrestling ring.
And yeah,
just the slow motion, over the top cartoon violence of John Goodman beating people up. Oh, that was good. That was good. Yeah, he's good. Playing his wife, got Susan Sarandon, Speed's mom.
Another phenomenal actress, like doing a great job. I've seen her around the time. She played a few mothers. She was in one with Natalie Portman around not too long before this, or my mind of the early 2000s is way more condensed than I think, but she's doing a perfect job of like that atomic family, like mother.
That's who does,
yep. She cooks the pancakes and she comes and like, she's the voice of reason. And she like gives Pop the look of like, don't, and like the understanding of like, when you see the flashbacks of like very small Speed having crashed the car with Rex down the racetrack and he's missing his teeth, he's like, ah, and yeah, like the brother looking sheepish of like, yeah, I know I shouldn't have done that. But like, it's all wholesome and it all works.
It does. Yeah,
everyone's selling exactly what they need, how they need. Again, that 60s fashion, like inspired fashion, really works for everyone.
Well, the villain, we've got Roger Allam as E.P. Arnold Royalton, the corrupt owner and CEO of Royalton Industries. He's great.
I always think of him from V for Vendetta.
Ah, like, yes. Also written by the Wachowskis.
Yeah, which...
The movie.
You know, he's like visceral, like blah, 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 conservative, like drumming and like talking down and at people and... Such a great like villainous presence,
smarmy. The scene with the pancakes. Oh, you must give me the recipe. No, I'll pay for it. And you know of that. But then when Speed goes to see him, he's like, "Oh, I appreciate your offer, but I'm going to go in a different direction." Yada yada yada. And that's when he turns on him, and you get that evil mustache twirling villain. Yeah, he really hams it up. Does a really good job.
Oh yeah, and it's for a movie of this type. You really do need someone to chew this, because you need to loathe him. You need to be like, this guy, how dare you? Like, I want to see him get his comeuppance, but he's just got too much power initially. And you're like, but he does, like, he sells you when you get that swing, like, he immediately, like, I hate this guy. And you need that energy because, I mean, it is supposed to be like a fun, upbeat movie, but so. Your antagonist needs to be as like as the fun, like it's fun.
I mean,
stuff,
it's a PG,
violently dangerous. Like yeah. Like they're literally having like mortal combat with these cars, and then they have this safety device that just kind of bubbles them and like.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, nobody gets badly injured.
Because again, is so different, it's a PG. From the Formula One that inspired it, where like. 20% of the field or 25% of the field every season would die.
Oh, wow. That's
dangerous, high. Like Formula One racing in the 60s was in the 70s as well. It didn't go down. Like, and that's why the car combat of this style, like, you know, like I mentioned, for a cartoon series, you're having to come up with new races every other story arc because they get killed off. Like, we need to figure a way to make that not the case. Also, it's a cartoon. They can't have people getting literally killed off in cartoons.
That's it. So you got people getting bubbled to safety, but then just like the cartoon, after winning a race, Speed Racer jumps out of his car while it's still moving and strikes a pose. And of course, replicating his trademark pose from the opening credits of the TV series. Yeah. So all of that works, but you've got to go with it. Like, you've just got like,
you do, yeah.
You've got, tonally, that's it. As soon as you press play in this movie, you know what you're in for, and you've just got to go with it. If you try and push up against it, you're just not going to have a good time at all. It's silly. It's over the top. There's some twists and turns. Is it his brother? It's not his brother. It's really his brother. He had plastic surgery to change his face. and you know, there's a pet monkey, like, and he's got a younger. That's it, yeah, and he's got a younger sibling played by Paulie Litt. That's a spittle racer, so he's always getting into mischief. It's
usually in the trunk of the Mark V.
That's right, yeah. So there's a lot of fun to be had. Oh, and at least on two occasions, Richard Roundtree pops up as a race car driver, Ben Burns, former driver. Because there was that whole thing about, you know, the sport, and then people are cheating and people aren't, and then it's... And he's tied up in all of that because it was said that he threw a race all those years ago. So there's some, there's some conflicts going on there and some good moments between Speed and his dad, all wholesome stuff. The sound of this movie, of the composer, Michael Giacchino, I mean, come on. Like, he's fast becoming one of those composers that is up there with the likes of John Williams, Hans Zimmer, like Jerry Goldsmith, you know, all those big names.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's like composed a lot of things we've reviewed on the podcast already. He's received many awards, including an Oscar for his work on Up in 2009, an Emmy for his work on Lost in 2004, and three Grammys for his work on Ratatouille in 2007 and Up in 2009. Beginning in 2018, he ventured into directing as well. And as a director, he's best known for directing Marvel's Werewolf by Night, which was fantastic.
Great special.
I've only seen the black and white version, the original one. I've not seen the coloured one. I'll check it out at some point. But that original black and white one, I thought was fantastic. And with this film, Giacchino, he used musical cues from the original cartoon when composing the score, and it transitions so well, like with
it does. Which is like the wheel spin, and then you get the very famous because it had a theme song. It was a cartoon.
But the thing is,
here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels.
So popular,
and he's going to be chasing after someone.
I knew the theme song without seeing the cartoon. So when I'm watching this movie, I see what he's doing. I know that thing.
Yeah, but it would be conspicuously absent if it wasn't in there. Like, you have to use it. It's part of pop culture. Maybe not a big part, but a significant enough part. It'd be like watching Scooby-Doo and not having a Scooby-Doo theme song. You're like, I'm out. It's so tied up with the identity, and it was so good back in the 60s. It's aged very well.
Absolutely. If it's not broke,
know to use it and know when to use it, which is important, that you can't just rely on it over and over again, but you got to use it on your exact moments. Yeah, it's like top marks for the soundtrack on this one.
Oh, absolutely. Well, all right, then. If you're going to rate Speed Racer out of 5.
Got to be honest, I'm going to come in... My enjoyment's higher than what it is as a film. But for those listening, I'm going to have to come in at 3.5 out of 5. Some of the way in which it was filmed this time around, I never had a problem in the cinema. I've watched it like not too long after it was out of the cinema, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it this time, but when I watched it this time, the obvious green screen and the block, which again, it's all somewhat inspired by the way they did the cartoon, but especially the physics of the cars, the CGI is not aged particularly well. But the way the cars move in a physics defying way, overly cartoony for something of that nature, and the rendering is off. They look like CGI, which for cars at the era, it's like metal and that kind of thing. It's a downgrade, unfortunately. But the hypercolor works for me. It's just specifically that, and the runtime. Although I didn't notice it, that is something to be aware of. I do think there's some fat in here they could have trimmed, but The performances are great. The costumes are great. The acting is really well done. The soundtrack's amazing. And that car. But even like, do you see the way they transition shots? It really does look like they've like floated onto the front set and the rest of it's like green screen and doesn't exist. Unfortunately, I did notice those issues, which again, I think in the old time, they had that old thing of like, you only have like a single, and maybe like the panels were very obvious to give movement, like obviously like almost flicking between two animation panels. So there was a cheapness to the cartoon that, again, maybe they try to replicate. That's the parts they shouldn't replicate. Like there's being doggedly, there's being referential, and then there's being too doggedly true to the source material. That's things they should have cut out. How about yourself?
I mean, I don't have the history, as I've said, that you have, but this movie, I mean, you're right, the car looks fantastic. When you get into the final stages with the final races, Speed does dress like the cartoon character, but they managed to pull it off. They've been building towards it. It's a cartoon world anyway. I think it's just like a fun, like it's a kids movie. Like again, like, you know, I said before, it's a PG. It was interesting seeing the Wachowskis do something like this. I mean, I know they'd done things before The Matrix, but that was my first introduction to them. So it's like, right, okay, so this is going to be something very different. And I've always enjoyed it. You know, it is a fun movie, fantastic supporting cast. There's a lot to like. Again, the music. So I'm going to come in at a 3 out of 5 on this one. It's definitely one to recommend. And if, like me, you've never seen Speed Racer before, you can just watch this movie and have that be your Speed Racer experience and like it enough. But it sounds like it's probably worth going back and watching the original cartoon.
Yeah. I haven't seen it since I was a teenager, so I'm not sure how well it's aged, although it's probably aged quite well because the way they should draw them back then, other than the cheapness with the characters, all the racing car stuff was always phenomenal. It was the human acting or panels that always used to be where they cheaped out, and the sound effects were phenomenal. But yeah, I if it does get picked up as an Apple series, that might work better, especially again as a Formula One fan. And on Netflix they have the Drive to Survive series. You know, there is a lot of actual drama that comes around.
That is huge on Netflix, isn't it? The timing seems right. And you know, Apple deep pockets, I'm sure they can do. I mean,
and Modark, their production values is Monsterverse, phenomenal.
Yeah, like what they're doing over there. What you were talking about, you know, the 60s cartoon, just the way they used to do things back then. I'm currently rewatching Justice League from 2001.
Yeah.
And it looks just as good, if not better, than more recent DC animated content.
The quality up there, because they used to use more expensive studios because they relied on toy sales to offset the costs. You got better looking stuff because they spent longer on it, where now they've got stricter time frames.
So older cartoons really do hold up. But that is our episode all about Speed Racer.
If you'd like to contact us about this episode or suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, you can find us on Facebook as Sounds Like Comics.
You've been listening to Luke and Jay, the guys from Sounds Like Comics. See you soon.